channels. So today I'm going to be talking about what does it mean to walk in the light? And that might sound kind of esoteric or even Christian. And the thing is that I consider myself to be spiritual, not religious. I was raised with many diverse members who had a historical background in Catholicism, Christianity, and Buddhism primarily. And I really have studied global religions, and I believe in universal consciousness, and that God is energy that runs through all living things, and that that is what is sacred about each and every one of us, is that we have energy running through us that keeps us alive and well. And my quest has been to understand the human mechanism better so that I can help people to move forward. And moving forward into a healthier space or a new space is what healing is about. So illness is about being stuck. It's about being stuck in a place that's not healthy. And walking in consciousness or walking in light means to find solutions. So I actually blogged about it on my Facebook professional page, which is Aura Walker Hypnotherapy. And I talked about what does that mean, actually defining what does it mean to walk in the light. So what I wrote here is that it's really about finding solutions and solution-based choice and having a productive lifestyle. So it started with me thinking about this because a friend complained that she was plagued by negative people. And the fact is that there are a lot of problems in the world. One out of four people now struggle with mental health issues. I would say 20 years ago or so, the statistics were about 1 in 10. So that has more than doubled in 20 years or less. And I think it's a testament to just a overload of environmental pollution. Our food is polluted, the air is polluted, the land, the sky, the water, everything's polluted. Right there, that gives me anxiety. But then all those pollutants are getting into us. And I think people have been desensitized by pollution, whether it's chemical pollution, noise pollution, you name it, you know, food pollution. So we're having babies that are born with toxins that they've never been exposed to because their moms have been exposed to them. And so we're seeing the rates of autism skyrocketing. We're seeing the rates of all kinds of childhood illnesses skyrocketing. And then you have adults that were, you know, young way back 20 years ago or younger, and now they've been exposed to all of this environmental pollution. And the stress that comes with that, your body is stressed, your mind is stressed. So the stress will lead to people having breakdowns. And I really see that as already we have global history of millions and millions, hundreds of millions of years of trauma everywhere around the globe, because the evolution of the planet has been developed on domination, whether through wars or slavery. And more recent studies have shown that there is a connection between ancestors experiencing trauma and their current offspring carrying that genetic code of trauma, which is amazing. And so if you think about the human body as a mechanism, and that we are basically these containers for water and minerals, and that we fire electricity to think, like our brains fire electromagnetic impulses to think, that basically we are in a way programmable and we're walking programs, and our DNA is like a computer chip and it is a recording. In fact, they found that they can take huge databases of movies and now store them in DNA, which is mind-blowing. So, you know, when we think about the future and cyborgs and artificial intelligence merging with human intelligence, that's not going to be far off. And they're going to be able to cure all these diseases with artificial intelligence at some point. They're going to be able to fix DNA. They're going to be able to fix chronic illnesses. They'll be able to heal all kinds of illnesses. It's just that the problem is that illness is more lucrative than health, unless you make the solution more expensive than the treatment for the illness. And so I'm hoping that the people who are in charge of the labs and in charge of the really high-tech medical technology breakthroughs, that those people will begin to find ways to capitalize, just like with clean energy. Clean energy is coming into dominance in the marketplace. And as soon as clean energy begins to dominate financially, I think we're going to see even less reliance on fossil fuel technology or fuel in terms of the dependence on fossil fuel, which is what is polluting everybody. So moving into the future, we're looking at huge leaps in terms of healing people genetically. And so when we look at trauma as a genetic code, my job, until we reach that point where technology can intervene, is to help people to access their own genetic codes internally and move them forward. And so how do I do that? It's all customized because each and every person is unique and every single person has their own experience, their own chemistry. And so I'm very clear that I am not a psychiatrist. I do not diagnose people. In fact, unfortunately, legally, I am not really allowed to work with psychiatric disorders because some psychiatric disorders are so severe that no matter what, nobody can really touch them, and it comes down to body chemistry. And so that's, you know, the mineral content that's happening in the blood. It's not about DNA anymore. It's really more about the serum that's running through the body. And that would require proper nutrition, vitamins, and medication. So medication is this hornet's nest because medication is trial and error, and the body's chemistry changes day to day, depending on what people eat, what they breathe, et cetera, et cetera. So when we talk about body chemistry and medication, it's a lifelong trial and error, and it's really, really frustrating. But I have respect for proper use of medication, not abuse, like we have this epidemic across country with opioids. And it's really tragic because what's happened is these pharmaceutical companies have gone into these small towns where there are no jobs, and they've prescribed on purpose opioids to huge populations. I mean, huge, you know, in small towns, we're talking a considerable amount of people. You know, even like 100,000 people, you know, that might be considered like a relatively small town or less, all prescribed opioids to cope with quote-unquote depression, malaise, whatever. You know, they're having a hard time. They're not employed. The old plants, the motor plants or the coal plants or the whatever, man, you know, the steel plants are now defunct. Things are getting outsourced overseas. So, you know, we're seeing this trickle-down effect that communities need resilience and need to have leaders that transform the community into a new kind of prosperity and not rely on something that's outdated and maybe has died, an industry that has died. And so these pharmaceutical companies, you know, who are completely unethical, have gone in and prescribed opioids to these communities. And what's happened is that they have gotten whole communities hooked, completely hooked on these prescription drugs, and it's decimating communities across America. Now, that is an improper use of medication, and certainly, what's the difference between a prescribed opioid and an opioid that's sold on the street, like heroin? There's really not much difference on how it affects the body, mind, and spirit. And then we get into a whole new domain, which is when there are substances that, particularly plant-based substances, that alter body chemistry in a way that becomes almost like a spiritual gateway to another realm. And I'm really crossing over into like controversial territory. But when you open that gateway into another realm with a plant-based medicine, whether it's an opioid or it's something from cocaine or marijuana, it has to have a reverence with it. I've seen articles that were encouraging the use of hallucinogens for mental illness. I cannot tell you how dangerous that is. It is so dangerous to tell a mentally ill person with a brain imbalance to use a plant-based medicine that requires what in traditional communities would be considered shamanic supervision, and also reverence, deep reverence for the power of that medicine. To say, oh yeah, you know, try magic mushrooms if you suffer from bipolar disorder or if you suffer from schizophrenia. Incredibly, incredibly dangerous, because it continues to alter the brain chemistry and there's no real controlling it. Some people would say, okay, well, you know, it's better than pharmaceuticals because they're all capitalizing, blah, blah, blah. There is a plus and a minus to every side. So am I against medical marijuana? No, I'm not. But I do believe that the proper way to use medical marijuana is to not smoke it, but it's to juice it or eat it raw. And that's where all of the nutrients and medicine is. It's not in cooking it. And if you want to make an elixir out of it, is to soak it in grain alcohol or in olive oil and for a long time until the properties come out, but not to heat it, because heating it actually really transforms it into something completely different that is mind-altering in a way that can be dangerous for people who suffer with severe, severe mental illness. Now, that said, moving on into the original subject, which is how do you walk in the light? I guess I'm touching on all of these social issues because we're inundated with all of this now, currently. And what I see is people having spiritual and existential crises everywhere. There was an article I read recently, I believe it was published in Oprah's magazine, her online magazine, about how most women in America are really, really unhappy and dissatisfied, not just because of the current revelations of sexual harassment, which have existed since the beginning of time, but because particularly middle-aged women who came into the workforce in the 90s were expecting to earn the amount of money that was promised to them coming out of college and grad school. And there was an economic collapse in the 80s. And then, you know, partially in the 90s. And then we saw it also just 10 years ago with the real estate collapse. So we've gone through these waves of economic collapse. And women in particular, you know, had come into their own in the workforce in the 80s. And women in the 90s were the next generation to kind of lead that wave of employment and real talent in the workforce. And it just never happened. It never happened because there wasn't the money, there weren't the jobs. And so people with really stellar degrees were floundering. And then the internet exploded. And so suddenly, you know, mom and pop businesses were gone. And so I'm touching on women in particular because they became kind of a new workforce. With men, I think the issues that have plagued men forever have pretty much stayed the same. So a man without a job, without a purpose, continues to feel really challenged anywhere. You know, that there's a saying, a man without a job is a man without a purpose, and men without purpose are not happy. And so those are age-old issues for men. But for women, some of these issues that men have contended with, because men were really the allowed to be the breadwinners, are newer issues for women. And so across the board, you just see a greater number of people in the general population who are dealing with depression, just basic depression, not just chemical depression. And there's a difference. There's environmental depression, where you're depressed because something in your environment happened. Someone died, you lost your job, et cetera, or somebody got sick, and that brings you down. And then there's chemical depression, which is, you know, much more severe and has all kinds of sources, like why did it start? You know, genetic, environmental, you name it. So what I help people do is I don't diagnose them, but I help them to identify where they feel stuck. And then in 2006, I finished my certification in clinical hypnosis, and I was encouraged by the school to do smoking cessation, because that is kind of, that was the keyword search at the time. That was historically what hypnosis was known for. And when I hung up my shingle, I noticed a pattern, and the pattern was that people were coming in with trauma. And I was like, smoking? Forget smoking. Let's deal with trauma. And it's not sexy, and nobody's really addressing it. And let's start addressing it. And so I really kind of earmarked my specialty to be stress, anxiety, and trauma release. And when someone would say, you know, can you help me quit smoking? I would say to them, well, do you like smoking? And they say, yes. Well, if you like it, then I'm not going to make you quit it, because that's counterintuitive. I'm not going to make you quit something that you like. However, I'm going to ask you, are you ready to quit? If they say yes, I'm going to say, well, then you're going to quit on your own. But what I can help you with is, why are you smoking? What is the reason underneath the smoking? So if it's anxiety or stress, let's address that. Why are you anxious? What's stressing you out? Smoking is more addictive than heroin. Heroin is out of the body in 18 hours. Nicotine's out of the body in 4 days. After 6 days, the body starts craving it again. It's just the way that that particular drug works. So it is a class A drug as far as I am concerned. And I believe it should require inpatient treatment because it is that addictive. So I am probably one of the only hypnotherapists in the world who will say, I do not profess to help people quit smoking, but I do help people get to the root of what the issue is that is bothering them in their lives, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And it can be anything from a mundane issue to a more complex issue. And so when somebody feels stuck or depressed, rageful, you know, some of the really heavy feelings for more than 3 days, that is an indication that the individual needs help. And what does it mean to get help? It would mean to consult a professional like myself or somebody else, maybe, you know, their spiritual advisor or a doctor, somebody who can give professional feedback and maybe even a referral or specific help, trained help. Why after 3 days? 3 days is kind of the demarcation that if it's not shifting after 3 days, then the person is really stuck. And then life just becomes a chore. It's just, it's not enjoyable anymore. And why are we here on earth? I believe that each and every one of us is here to accomplish something. Otherwise, why bother? I mean, and if your job is to accomplish getting through each day and enjoying that day, then that is what you've accomplished for the day. It could be that simple. Everyone has a different purpose. Elon Musk is a gift to this planet, and his purpose is to help us transition to clean energy. I truly believe that he is this avatar on Earth that has come to help us transition to the next level of our global development in a positive way. Of course, there's people like Hitler who are completely negative, and sociopaths and psychopaths. Did he have a job? I wouldn't say that his job or his purpose was to be a force of destruction on this planet. But when we look at that kind of evil, and I don't believe in karma in the sense that, oh, this was meant to happen. I don't believe that because I believe there's always choice. But, you know, a kid once said it to me the best, and children don't have the filters that adults develop. So a kid said to me, you know, if there wasn't evil, we wouldn't appreciate the goodness in life. We wouldn't learn about everything that's good and how to preserve it. And so, unfortunately, there exists that flip side of the coin. For the mountain that stands, when the sun shines on it, there is a shadow of that mountain. It is the flip side of the sunshine, is that there is a shadow. And in addressing the shadow, when we look at the shadow, then we look into the darkness. It is the courage of being able to do that and being able to walk through that shadow. And so that's a metaphor for life. If you can look at the shadow side, if you can look at the darkness and you can still walk and move forward and seek solutions, then you are walking back into the light. And that is what walking in the light means. It means that life doesn't always have to be, you know, Betty Crocker, muffins, blueberry muffins, and sunshine and unicorns and glitter, but it does have to be about what's the solution. So if you're going to complain about something, complaining endlessly without seeking a solution, and you know that person in your family or that friend who complains endlessly and butts you, well, they are stuck in darkness. They're stuck. And so the best way to deal with those people when you've offered a million solutions and then they just don't accept them is to put a limit on it and just to excuse yourself, because there's their personal choice. And they may be ill in some way, but they still have the personal choice. And at some point, somebody's going to have reflected back to them, you might need some professional help. So when somebody doesn't take that choice and take the initiative to either get professional help or to move forward in their life, then they're just, you know, masturbating misery and they're stuck. They're completely stuck. And so that's my job, is to help people get unstuck. And I developed a number of exercises and protocols to help people get unstuck in their lives by accessing their bodies as a mechanism, body, mind, and spirit. So the body is a house for the spirit. And the spirit is really very fascinating and mysterious. We all have one. We know it. I remember once I found a bird on a road, a country road, that had been hit by a car. And I picked it up. And I picked it up just in that moment that it died. And I saw the light fade from its eyes. And I knew in that moment that the spirit was gone. And so, you know, I know from that young, almost like, teenage, I think I was like a young teenager, that young childhood experience, that was a testament that there is something mysterious and powerful to life, and that's what we are here for, is to honor that in each and every one of us, in ourselves, and to say, you know, I am here, a spirit in this body. And so it's important to take care of your body because it's the home for your spirit. And the mind is the mechanism that controls the body, which the spirit accesses the mind like a computer to control the body. Because, you know, hopefully if you're high functioning, you can walk and drive and do all the things you need to do to get through life. And, you know, for those people who are paraplegics or bedridden, you know, I send a prayer out to each and one of them, each and every one of them, because that is just a living torture. For whatever reason, I don't know. Again, I don't really believe in karma. And the reason I don't believe in karma is because of choice. And some of those people who are paraplegics or who are brain dead don't have a lot of choice. And there's certainly people out there who don't have a lot of choice. And I can't tell you what that reason is. I'm not going to try and figure that out. I don't know that that's my job to figure that out. But I bless them because I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And to those who are suffering to that degree, death is merciful. I would not wish that on anybody. So if you can walk around and run around and eat and jump and go to the movies and do whatever you so please, feel completely blessed in your life. And if you feel stuck, then ask for help. Go out and ask for help. Find help. And you can always also contact me at AuraWalkerHypnotherapy.com. That's AuraWalkerHypnotherapy.com. So like I said, this is kind of a test run on Buzzed Radio. And I'm going to continue to run shows on here weekly. And I just wanted to introduce myself and tell people a little bit about myself and what I'm doing. And I look forward to doing more shows and connecting with more people as we add live streams on Facebook and have more interaction in the future. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you soon on BuzzedRadio.com.
RadioBuzzed.com, streaming the best rock worldwide.